Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throwlers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Yeah, real good, Alan. Episode 61. Sat in the studio, rugged up, Ugg boots on, Udi on. And I just noticed we're only a couple of episodes behind the lesser-known podcast, The Tee Off. They are up to 63 at the moment.
Yeah, we'll have them caught in no time. So someone messaged us and asked, like, are we going to do like a special thing when we take over them? But like, I don't know. Like, you don't really worry about people below you, do you?
I've never noticed them.
I don't know. We'll see. I bet you they'll pop out a couple quick ones though, like just to get to like 65 or something first, or something weird like that.
Yeah.
Now we're getting up there, which is nice. How has your short week been?
Shortest ever. Obviously, we're only 2 days into it, but that means we're halfway through the week, so that's nice. Yeah, it's been pretty good. Nothing outrageously exciting worth sharing on the pod, I don't think. What about yourself?
Yeah, nah, it's good. Same deal. 2 days in and only 2 days left, so can't complain. It's just how it should be every single week. We should only ever have four-day weeks, in my opinion. But I don't think we're going to get there, unfortunately. But loving it. And yeah, busy weekend. Went out and saw Mos Def with Dazza. So that was a nice little surprise, because his kid was sick, so I filled in for wife duties. Luckily, it wasn't girlfriend duties, or I might have had to fill in other ways. But wife duties, all good.
All good. Status quo.
All good. All right, we got a big pod, so we better get right into it. We had the ratings update, which I was dreading. I was worried about it, but the Invalid League kicked in for me and came in clutch, because I think
coming in clutch.
I think a couple, couple updates ago, I was like, nah, I won't be falling below 920, and then I dropped down to 920, and I was like, oh, well, we're going further, because my Hopkinsizer wasn't great. But the one hot Invalid round with Invalid League kept me there. Actually pumped me up, so I'm back up to 921. Tiny little buffer. So how about yourself?
Yeah, well, I wasn't anticipating nothing, because I don't play much disc golf, as we all know. But yeah, that Invalid League came in, and I had a 954 at Invalid League. But I obviously dropped something similar, because I didn't have much of a swing, but I also went up one. So we're twinning.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think I might have the 954 as well. I think we might have had the same score that day. Nice, good day. A little plus one or something on the golds.
Yeah, great day.
It was a great day for the boys. How about the rest of Australia, or at least the top crew? How have they fared?
Bit of movement for sure. A bit of movement. Have you had a bit of a look at the leaderboard?
What did you say? Sorry.
Have you had a look at the leaderboard? There's definitely been a bit of movement.
Yes, I've got it right in front of me now. It took me a little while, but I've got it right in front of me now. I just need to sort by rating. And yeah, as we still see a couple of the 1,000 rated boys, Dave Perry and Dill Feldman, both in the 1,000 club. I don't know, what's the movement? I'm seeing most of the same.
So that means Dill's gone down by 5.
There you go.
Because he was sitting at 1,007. So we've got a new highest rated Australian disc golfer at the moment. He's been there before, so it's not that new. But David Perry back at the top of the throne. Then, obviously, you still got Luke Bain and then Blake Houston. I feel like that's been the case for a little while, the top four. But I don't know. Has Dan Frost always been our fifth highest rated disc golfer?
Oh, no. I did actually remember hearing this, that he is now the highest rated of the Canberra Crush boys. Just sneaky little Dan Frost there, popping up ahead of Austin and Jade.
Exactly. That's the biggest shift I think I've noticed.
Yeah, fair enough. No, that's true. And not too much else. Yeah, not a lot of disc golf going on at the moment. But Yeah, very, very little sneaky one right there. So well done, Dan.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm sure that's like a hot topic up in Canberra.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm just searching by cache now. I love this cache feature that you can search by. And Dill still remains the top money earner this year on the Australian Tour at $1,500. And Jade Brady is well ahead of the other two Canberra boys. Dan, nowhere to be seen. So rating don't mean shit if you can't show up on the big dance, I guess.
Oh, well spotted, sir. Well spotted.
Yeah, Lukey Bay in there as well. And over in Europe at the moment. So hopefully can start building that cash purse up again.
True that.
So we'll have some chances to build our cash purses and to build our ratings because three tournaments opened up since the last time we checked in. The Barwon Valley Bash, which is a nice little tourney Geelong's putting on in a couple of weeks, which is beautiful.
Hold the phone. Guess what?
What's up?
You just got me digging. And like, obviously Bainey's in Europe at the moment. And I shared on Insta before the final day that he obviously started well inside the cash line and then was quite significantly outside the cash line. So I put a little carrot out there, tagged him and said, right, he just needs to play a bit better on the final day to make cash. Missed it by a stroke.
I'm just looking at it now. That's brutal.
Sorry.
No, you're right. Yeah, that second day just wasn't quite enough. Three of the first, they would have been laughing.
Oh, laughing.
No good. But we'll keep an eye on his journey. I forgot he was over there. It was sort of snuck up. We talk about the people going to Worlds, but we forgot Bainey was heading over to Europe. So we'll definitely have to keep an eye on him and his next few tourneys.
Yeah. Three tournaments opened up.
Yeah, three tournaments open up. A little baby 32-player tournament at Barwon Valley, the Barwon Valley Bash. I've signed up for that. Pretty keen. It's in a couple of weeks. I need to get some prep in for my Queensland Open because I am in pretty shit form. So keen for that one. The Big Wet, which we're all G'd up for. I think you and I both signed up for that, yeah?
Oh, 100%.
So I think that's full. Got full pretty quickly.
24 hours.
Pretty quickly. Yeah.
24 hours with not much advertising.
Yeah, exactly. And the Melbourne Celebrates tournament, which I think is dangerously empty. The last I checked, anyway.
Split across two weekends. Split across two weekends. There's not many sitting in the. Not many. Split across 2 days. There's not many sitting in the pro day. But I have a feeling the other day might be looking a little more healthy.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I forgot about that, so I'd only clicked on the one that came up for my name. So I might have to search up the old man to see how that goes. But only 17 players right now signed up for the pro day. Not good. Not good at all. So if you're one of the people that was like, we should do this on two different days, then make sure you sign up for the pro day. But I'm seeing an American in MA1, Scott Grimm, from Alabaster, Alabama. So could be dangerous there. Low PDJ number, lower than mine. 533. Oh, not quite as low as yours though, Chris.
Good.
That'd be interesting. We'll have to keep an eye on that one.
And I've just had a cheeky look at their amateur day, and there's already 38 sitting in there.
Okay, there you go.
So what is that? Still, I said 55.
Yeah, still pretty lean on.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on. What else is happening on the 28th of July? Get around to people. What are you doing? The Barwon Valley Bash, I think, it's only got 18 people at the moment too. So half the field still open. So you want to get a cheeky little rated round in or two, then a little two round one day. Check it out. I have not played Barwon Valley, I think, in 5 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Have you developed Have you developed a 110-meter sidearm in that time?
No. So I'm still not going to be any good there.
I think Hardy might do all right.
Yeah, I think Hardy might do all right. Defending champ, he just dropped that in our little group chat. That he just happened to be the defending champ there. But Don Carter's there, and we'll get to him a bit later. He is up and about, so we shall see.
Yes.
All right, we should check in to the Worlds. So we talked about our crew that was heading over to Am Worlds, and they've got one round in their belt. I thought it was last weekend, but it's not. It's this weekend, and round one started today. How did our people do?
Yeah, so it's underway. It goes for basically the weekend. Really, it doesn't overlap much into the weekend unless you make finals. Kicked off today and away they go. Look, the Aussies are up and about, I want to say. I'm just cycling all my tabs to find the right one. Got there eventually. I've had a quick glance, and first massive honourable mention has to go to none other than Kim Holmes. Kim Holmes currently sitting second in the world for MA70. Big.
Let's go.
Margaret Traill, solid start above rating round. And also Vito. Vito finds himself somewhere down in like 60th or something like that.
Yeah, 67th. I'm just looking at him now.
Yeah, but what, more than 20 rating points above his rating?
Yeah, 919 round and he's 889 rated. I think that's light on for Vito. Vito's normally closer to that 919, I would have thought. It is what he's at the moment. But I still think a good event. I still think a good round. I had a chat with him. We'll just send him a couple of messages, and he said he left a couple out there, but he was feeling pretty happy with it. So I think I would be too. So, yeah, 67th place, but, yeah, playing well. So, and I can't remember do you remember the other guy's name? In MA40?
Was it like a Brad?
Yeah, it could be. So.
I reckon it was a Brad. Let's just do a quick Control F. Control F, Brad. Brad Turner is indeed Australian.
Oh, look at you go.
That was good memory. And he shot 31 rating points above his rating. So too shabby at all by the Aussies. Yeah. Up and about.
Love to see that.
Yeah, that's huge. But over in the pro pool, there is an honorary Aussie that we cannot glance over. We're claiming him like we claim the Pavlova, and that is in the MP55. Where's the MP54 and where's the MP53? That's my first question. But in the MP55, at the top of the leaderboard, T1, none other than Mr. Simon Feasey, RPE himself.
Big. I forgot about, I did see on Facebook that he was over there and he goes to this stuff a lot. And I just completely drew a blank on that the other day, like last week. And then when I was looking at the Master Pro Worlds results, I just saw his name at the top of the leaderboard. I was like, oh, okay, there you go. So that's pretty sick. That'd be cool if he can keep that up and take down a W.
Yeah. Now, like, there's not many names in his category that ring any bell, bar one, and that's Mr. Patrick Brown. Patrick Brown, gun golfer. So, absolutely gun Masters golfer. And so, I won't be surprised if they battle it out over the next few days.
Cool. Yeah, I can't say it's a name I am familiar with, but if you are, I believe it.
He's a jet.
Nice. And unsurprisingly, Owen Scoggins, 6 strokes ahead of second place Jen Allen and Kairi Teku. Just, she cannot be beaten at World Pro Masters. Like, I think this is going to be 4 in a row or something when she inevitably wins this. Just wild.
Did you see her Pro Tour interview after coming second place at the latest event?
Nah, I missed that.
So she's like, they're in a completely different state. And she's like doing this Pro Tour interview. And the bloke's like, I think innocently was like, oh, much on. Obviously, it's a week off Pro Tour. And she's like, I'm jumping on a plane tonight. I'm off to defend my title. And she's like, I get one practice round in tomorrow because I'll be like, not, I'll get there in the dark. And then we kick off the next day and bang, she's dominating.
Yeah, she's a weapon. She don't need any practice.
Yeah.
The MP40 battle is going to be pretty pretty tasty. You got some familiar names with Eric McKay, Dave Felberg, Kayla Visco all at the top. But someone I'm unfamiliar with, Joe Revere, is four strokes ahead. Josh Anton's in that crowd as well. So that'd be a cool one to watch.
Our listeners, our passionate disc golf listeners, will get very embarrassed by what I'm about to say. But isn't Joe Revere, doesn't he? I thought he headed up.
Thinking of Joe Rogan?
No. I reckon he heads up like one of the big disc golf companies, or used to head up one of the very big disc golf companies.
There you go.
Feel like he's a player in the game, but our listeners will correct us.
Fair enough. Yeah. Friend of the show, Jay Yeti Redding, is still doing work. He's fourth place in MP50.
You'd see that.
We'd love to see that. And Barry Schultz is still out there playing.
Yeah, I'll have to somehow go digging and see if I can find our Yeti Redding promo video and share it again.
Sounds good. I'll chuck the audio in there somewhere randomly in this pod too.
Beautiful.
Just a surprise for the listeners. And then in the MP50, Juliana Korva out there in front, which no surprise too, another touring pro getting it done. But there was a bit of controversy in, well, I assume, FP50, right?
Correct.
Who, with Valerie Doss? No, Des Redding, sorry.
With Des Redding, yeah.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
The better half of Jay Yeti Redding. She's dropped out. She's already sitting there as a DNF, and she's lumping the entirety of the blame onto PDGA themselves. She got absolutely cooked out in the heat, and had to pull out. She ended up in, emergency care with Jay, lost my mind, uncontrollable shaking, no idea how to operate my phone, seen double basket. I left the course for self-preservation. Tournament staff walked me back to the rig where I iced myself down. Jay furiously drove me and we went to urgent care as per the PDGA. The two hot geese were there to keep me company. My vital signs came back to good. All my icing and knowledge kept the worst at bay. She is a DNF
crazy
for worlds. Yeah.
And not enough water stations on the course is what she's going with, right?
100%. And she shared an image of herself in urgent care and an image of the PDGA policy that calls for provision of water.
No good for her, but I love it that she's going after the PDGA. No fucks given. They should be doing better. Especially it's Masters Worlds too. You got 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s out there competing. Get some fucking water for them. Like, shit.
100%.
All right. Let's move back down to some local stuff. We had a social day in Bald Hill. You did not make it, but I was out there for that. And what a wild day.
Massively.
So we got an ace from Ryan Deere, who not in the ace pot, so eat a dick. and we got a new social day course record. So you did a bit of digging and you found what the previous social day course record was at Bald Hill, which was
Neg 12
by, I think, Ryan Deere three times maybe, or a couple times.
Yeah, maybe someone else in there, but yep.
And he gets it again. Taron Anderson with the big neg 12, but all to be outdone by Aiden Howard, just a casual three strokes better. Neg 15. Shit.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So in 2 weeks, we've seen two social day records get blown.
Dropping like flies.
Dropping like flies. So I guess Ruffy, we'll have to look at what Ruffy's is because that'll probably drop this week.
Yeah, true.
Aiden Howard with a monster Neg 15 gets the win over Ryan Deere and Taron Anderson. We got to talk a little bit about Taron's round because I think last week he was at the bottom of the social day handicap.
Yeah.
And then he follows it up with a Neg 12. Just crazy. Like my best round there is like Neg 8. He's smacked me before. The equal record. It's better than Daz has ever gone round at a social day. Better than like Vil, you. Like it's crazy. Clean round. He reckons he banged all of his putts. He just hit everything inside the circle. He got the eagle on 3. He took a par on hole 5.
Gross.
Yeah. didn't get one. Took a par on hole 1. Just getting it done. 15, 16, 17.
Doing work.
Birdies
there.
On all that. Amazing.
Yeah.
13's a good birdie. He got that with the backhand turnover. Just sick round, Taron. Very impressed.
Very impressed.
Penn next. Penn with a Neg 10. He played with me. And that's his best round by like 4 strokes too. I think he said his PB was Neg 6. So he was just on one early. We started on hole 18 and he threw a peach and hit a nice putt. And then just went, 1, 2, eagle 3, 4, 5, 6, missed 7, got 8. And all of a sudden was 9 down through 9. I was like, shit, Pat. Then a bunch of pars was just pretty standard on the back 9. Snags another one, boom. Double digits. Just what a day. What a day for the crew.
Yeah, big. If we're going to mention Taron's miss on 1, though, we need to mention Penn's miss on 10.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. So our whole card missed that. Like, we got to the tee pad. I haven't seen the trees down yet. And I was like, oh, my God, what happened here? I was like, there's just no trees anymore. And I threw it just like, I don't know, I just didn't throw it, you know what I mean? I just like putted it basically. So I was short left. So was drawing a blank of who else was on my card, short left, and then Penn and someone else. Man, my brain sucks. Threw them straight into the ground basically. Like they were just into that hillside. We all walked away with pars. It's crazy.
Wow.
Might have been the only 4 pars of the day. Definitely the only par frame of the day, I can tell you that.
Yeah, 100%.
I was in there at just Neg 4. Played okay. Took a double bogey on 14, though, just a bunch of different things. That was just silly. But I don't know, getting better. Getting better. I'm working on my release is getting better. The timing's coming out. Less shit, so... Got to keep working on that for Queensland Open, so I don't embarrass myself. Unsurprisingly, Taron Anderson takes the handicap lead. Just
good get.
Monster effort. Aiden pretty stiff in third, but I mean, he's so good that what's the difference between, I guess the difference between 10 and 15 is still a lot. And Jennifer Finlay in second place. What about the bottom end of the other side? Who are we looking at?
We got Mark Johnson, Wayne Hood, not overly familiar. Kim Michelle finds herself down there. But a name that we've found at the other end a few times, and I think this is maybe the first time we're seeing him down this end, none other than my mate Glenn Rolston finding himself pretty low on the handicap board. And I just had a quick scan. Did he just pick up the one birdie for the day? Yeah, just the one birdie for the day, including a bogey on 1. Glenn's better than that. I've seen Glenn throw the frisbee a few times, and he's better than a plus 9 at Bald Hill, that's for sure.
Fair enough. What else have we seen out there? We know you had backed in Cam Ford in your throwers guarantee to shoot under par. Shoot over par.
Over par.
At Bald Hill. And I think he started on like hole three. So I think he started with like four birdies straight away. And I was like, okay, here we go. I'm good. I'm good. So finishes up with a neg five, which is not bad going. Good job, Cam.
Just the one bogey for Cam. I needed him to get 17 pars. He messaged me after the last pod, let me know that, you know, he's capable of a minus nine at Bald Hill, but he backed me in. He said, I am also very capable of a plus three. So I wasn't far off, but well played, Cam.
Nah, it did good for me. Thanks, mate. So hopefully my tip come through as well. We'll see. We'll have to see later on. But 0 from 1 for you in throwers guarantee. So not great start. What else we got in there? Picanti, neg 2. Would have liked to see more from here. Mikey Hare, neg 2. That kid baffles me. I don't know what that kid's deal is. I think his metrics rounds are as wild as Taran's. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anything else sticking out? I don't have it separated into the divisions. So who won? Was it Cam won Div 2, right?
Yeah, once they press some magic button, like that view disappears. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think Cam did. I think Cam Ford was Div B winner, which means that he must have signed up because he was a non-member last week. So must have signed up for the Melbourne Club. So good job there, Cam.
Nice.
I'm Jay Yeti Redding, and you're listening to the Throwers Podcast.
All right, wasn't the only social day of the weekend. They had one out at Ballarat. Ballarat's starting to piece a bunch together now as well. They're as many as Melbourne almost.
They're a busy area. They're a busy area.
Yeah. And they were out on the blue course in Vic Park.
Advanced, yep.
Yeah, the advanced course. So how'd that shake out?
Pretty familiar tale, to be honest. Said it once, we said it twice, we said it a million times. Don Carter getting the chocolates. Oh, Phil Morgan. God, imagine if Phil Morgan listens to the podcast. You remember that one time I said to Phil Morgan, who got the chocolates, and he went rummaging for some chocolates?
Yeah.
Come on, Phil. Anyway, what chocolates? Don Carter gets the chocolates, followed in by our bestie, Johnny Cranstoun, with the even around advance. Not bad. Ryan Michelle.
It's fucking great is what it is.
Yeah. Ryan Michelle over the card. Probably not what he's looking for. Clancy Beans with the plus three. I wonder what his PB on the blues is. That's a solid
It's got to be that. It's got to be that. I messaged him after. I told him that's good shooting.
Yeah. What else worth mentioning? David Wood snuck out there. David Wood plays a lot of disc golf. He plays a lot of sneaky disc golf, David Wood.
Yeah, he does. So does Carlton Clerk. He's new to us, but he's everywhere. All the time.
True. Yeah, loves it.
Loves it. So he was the handicap winner as well. So he's been the handicap winner at like 10 events recently.
There you go. And Glenn Ralston snuck out there again. But I'm sorry, Glenn. But I know you listen, and I didn't set this up. I didn't know this was going to happen. But you find yourself at the bottom of that barrel as well. Ouch.
Not his weekend.
Not his weekend.
Oh, beautiful. So Don Carter, just another outright win, but cannot... He's had too many good ones in a row. He cannot get the handicap win as well. But pretty goddamn close. Like a stroke off it.
Yeah, there you go.
So not bad. But he's finally, let's say, crashing back down to reality.
What have they done? Like, what have they done to hole one? How is the three winners all bogeying hole one?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty
Don,
gross.
Johnny and Ryan Michelle all took a four on hole one. What have they done?
I don't know. It's not ideal.
Not ideal.
I think it's still the same.
And exactly. It must be.
All right. We, like I said, last month, well, last ep, we don't really normally talk about little tourneys interstate, but we had some of our people over at the Tintinara tee off. So we'll check into that, and a pretty exciting one.
Oh, we were following live scores hectically.
Oh yeah. In the MPO, we had none other than Jono Dragget. Dragged. Fuck, I can never say his name. Jono. Big JD. Pushing hard early. I think he had, he had the lead after round one. And round two, not quite as hot, but still good enough to hold off a charging Timmy Bohan, who I think might have had a scoring mishap in round one. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. So it looked like Jono had a 61 round one and Tim Bowen had a 63, but it might have looked like he had a 62 or something, but that was not the case. He misplayed a hazard. Didn't count it as a hazard. And therefore his score was one shot worse than what he thought it was. But for turning in an incorrect scorecard, Mr. Rules himself, like, if you're going to pull this at a tournament, do not pull it at a tournament with Jono there. Jono loves a good rule. And
He'll get you.
And he had to take the plus two on top of that. So I think his 62 became a 65, something along those lines. And so when it looked like Tim was winning by two shots on live scores, it looked like Tim Bowen was winning by two shots. But the reality was that he was about to cop a penalty. It looked like he was winning by three shots. So yeah, he had to take the worst, then take the two. And so it turned out to be a playoff, and away they went.
Yeah, three-hole playoff, I think we heard, but Tim got it done. He backed himself in pretty hard on the tee-off, and he's come through. This is Jono's, I think, third playoff loss in a row, maybe?
Yeah.
In the last three tournaments, something like that. But this would have been a big-time MPO win for him. Timmy B in the field, Matt Noblett, Gareth Morgan, Nath Parrish, like regular MPO players. So that would have been a good get, but not the case, but still pretty decent effort by him. We're happy with him.
Well done, yeah. He's shot, near 950 golf for the weekend, something around that. He can't, well done.
And in the MA40, Lee Thompson went over and just smacked him. He's having a year.
Yes,
Lee Thompson's having a year. He's putting together something similar to what Cranny did last year. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. Who else? Victorians. Nothing much in the MA50. Terry Bohan went over but got absolutely destroyed by James Arnold. And speaking of Arnold's, Henry Arnold, he was in MA2, the kid. The kid is up and about. I had messaged Kalen after his first round because he played pretty well. I think they were maybe a three-way tie or something for first.
Correct.
Or second or something like that. Yeah, and I was like, all right. And he goes, man, that Henry kid, he's all right. I was like, yeah, no, he's very good. Like, if he puts it all together, he'll be sick. He went neg 6 first round, neg 14 second round for the hot round of the weekend. I think they played 24 holes or something like that, so not 14 out of 18. But still, neg 14, hot round of the weekend. The kid is so good. I was telling Kalen how I was, my goal used to always just be beat Henry because I knew that my time of being able to do that would be coming to an end. And he's like, well, I think this might have been my one shot. So, and he let it slip. So Ben Opitz in second and Kalen there in third. But a nice event for Kalen. 909 rated event. So he's moving on up.
Yeah, awesome work. I'm just having a quick scan down the other divisions. I'm not seeing many Victorians. But well done to anyone who did jump on the road and get over there.
Mm. So we had a big tournament over in the States, the Beaver State Fling, the second stop on the Oregon Trail. and a bit of a doozy. This was a real up and down close one. I know in both the MPO and the FPO. So I think Holland had like a big comeback to chase down Own, if I'm remembering correctly. I didn't actually see any of it, but that's, I heard plenty of that.
Yeah,
and
kind
I think
of.
They got themselves to a playoff. No, what happened there?
So it was down the stretch. It transpired to be a chase down, but they go into the final round tied. So they're both 15 down at the start of the round, but Owen got out of the gates a bit cleaner, and then also then went birdie on 11, 12, 13. And just put a bit of space, a bit of a breathing room between her and Holland. But then Holland on the, just like the last couple of holes, just sunk some absolute monsters, including to force the playoff. Like it's recorded as like a 14 meter putt on the last hole, but like the video, like it looks like nearly a 20 meter putt, like just an absolute gross elevated basket, monster putt to force the playoff. And she had a roll away on an earlier hole where like she like tried to hit a putt, hits, rolls away, but then clutches up from circle's edge and hits it. And like she's so candid in her interview after the round on the pro tour, just like saying how, and I love this, I just love this so much, that like she was just never fazed, and she just has this inner monologue where she keeps repeating to herself, I'm clutch as fuck. I'm clutch as fuck.
That's cool.
And just cashes these putts.
That's cool. I love that.
How good's that?
I'm clutch as fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. And then she went on to win the playoff. That's her first pro tour victory, right?
Which surprises me.
Oh, yeah. I think it surprised everyone.
Yeah. And they had a one-hole playoff. So what the hell was that event where they had the random three-hole playoff?
Yeah, that I think that's just what that TD wanted to do. I guess you can do what you want.
So random.
Yeah, very bizarre.
Yeah.
So I guess they're not sticking with it.
No.
Nice for her. Who was your tip?
Oh, fucking hell, Alan. Same as yours.
Yeah,
where did she come? 21st.
Yeah, bloody... Sophia Donicky.
Yeah. I blame Daz.
We were
Daz
talking
this.
Her up. Yeah,
I do. Because he's Canadian, but B, he drops me all of her Insta stuff, like all the time throughout the week, telling me how much of a gun she is. And and he ain't wrong. Like, she is a gun. But like, that just kind of butted me up. And then she had a good result. I was like, I'm going to tip her. And God, that killed me.
Yeah, I'm the same. She killed it last week, and all I heard was that this course is pretty similar to that course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she hasn't really been on the tour, and she lives in Canada, so I thought maybe she just lives West Coast Canada. I was like, maybe she's just there for these two events. I said, I'm going to get this sneaky tip in. She's going to come like seventh. I'm going to be a genius. Like, look at me go. And then you tipped her. I was like, yeah, yep, Chris is on it. And then, nah, no good.
No good.
21st place, so disappointing. Especially seeing as, I don't know. I don't know who else I would have tipped, so.
Rebecca Cox. I've got her.
Yeah, I've already used Rebecca Cox.
See, I haven't. She got a tasty fifth. The British, my British mate, Rachel, God, she does well. She obviously had a good European thing. She just came eighth on a pro tour event.
Yeah, that's good. Could have got
Rachel. Yeah.
I've got a lot of good tips left. I've been pretty conservative with my tips, but my season's like ruined. So I don't think it matters. But
yeah,
I've got a lot of good tips. Yeah, we'll see. I'll try to charge and yeah.
I tell you what I've done. We had a long weekend and I know a lot of the guys we're tipping against lots of people, and there's a lot of cash up for grabs. Anyway, I'm sure others were onto this pre-season. Well, I wasn't. And I got onto it now. I actually built a spreadsheet for the remaining events and the tips that I have left.
Yeah.
And I can come home strong.
I'm telling you now, no one has gotten onto this. You're the only one doing that.
Nah. False. I guarantee. Oh, okay. I guarantee that, a few Sam guys Stoyer. Have like, yep, Stoyer won. Old mate. He lives in Sunshine West. What's his name? Callum. Callum for sure is doing it. I believe Picanti's been random and he's dominating. But
yeah, he's dominating.
Yeah, nah, there'd be two or three, if not more, that have like kind of, all right, 20 events, 20 tips. They'd have it a bit more sus than just being random like us.
Okay. Yeah, well, maybe I'll have to look into that next year.
Yeah.
All right, and then the MPO, it was wild. I watched this final round and hectic. I don't think you got to see it. I think you were out playing. Oh, I'll have to ask you about that too. But yes. It was all Luke Humphries.
Yes.
He was looking so good. Just cool, calm, collected. Like the others were there. Like he was only ever one, two ahead at most. But it was often just one or tie. But it just always looked like Luke Humphries. For whatever reason, it just didn't. Gannon seemed just that little bit too far back. And Ezra just the same. They all just didn't seem like they were going to charge and take it. And then it just, when it's really only one or two strokes, it happens so fast. It happens so fast. So they get to hole 17. And I think by that stage, off the top of my head, that Gannon and Luke are tied. Maybe Luke's one ahead, but I think they're tied, and then Ezra's one behind him.
Yep.
And, or worst case scenario, like Luke might be one up, and Ezra and Gannon are now tied because Ezra got hole 16 and the others didn't. So they're going into 17, and both Gannon and Luke stuff their shots up. Not ideal locations at all. And Luke's up first, and he goes for it, and it looks so good. It's just such a good shot. I was like, oh, here we go. He's just clutched up once again, but it just snuck a little high and hit a tree and stayed on that road. Never went back inbounds. Now it's disaster situations, and Gannon knows it. So Gannon's laying up, trying to play for par, and Luke's got a decision to make, and it's just so reminiscent of the last time he played Gannon where he had a decision to make, and I fully support it. Like the chances of him scalping one off Gannon on that last hole, which is a pretty easy hole for Gannon, not great. So I think he had to do what he had to do to set himself up for, you know, at least a chance to get this par, and he just overturned it. So never went inbounds at all. Just ruined from there. Like, it didn't really matter after that, but it got worse and worse and worse. The next one went in, but then his layout went out of bounds. Anyway, he takes a 9. He's now done. He's out of it. It was him all day, and now he's no chance. So, comes down to Ezra and Gannon, and Gannon threw into the middle of something horrendous. Can't remember. Nate Perkins on the ground was like, he ain't getting out. He's like, there's no out. He has to throw high and around and hit a putt. Gannon goes there and he's like, well, I can see an out. Throw some peach through the bushes. Easy par. So, gets the W. Two in a row. Completes the Oregon sweep.
Well done, Gannon. Obviously takes his time putting, which is hard to bear live. I got to watch the final round on Jomez on the treadmill this week because obviously I saw those scores unfold and saw the chat blowing up when that 9 was unfolding, and devastated. Would have loved to have seen Humphries get the W. But yeah, Cannon is just too consistent.
Too consistent. And at this stage, easily player of the year. Like, it's not even a debate.
How quickly it turns.
Yeah. Well, it's like when you're, it's the start of the season, so anything can happen quick. And when you've won three events like AB did fast, you're the guy. But then he's just been trash for a while. And then Calvin ended up getting two, I think, and just top tens galore. And Gannon just had the one, but top tens galore. So I was like, oh, yeah. And then now he's got three. Like, okay, well, never mind. So he's got now equal most wins. He's got the highest finish rate. So it's easily all him. But Ricky Wysocki could win the next two, and then it might be him.
It's
pretty nuts season to think that we've already had about how many events there have been. There's only been like 12, maybe.
Yep.
And we've got 3, 6, 8 victories coming from three dudes.
Crazy.
Pretty fucked up.
Yeah, true.
Pretty fucked up. So Ezra Robinson in second, tied with Ricky Wysocki. So Ezra, well, both the Ezras and Luke Humphreys, they're the three that look like they're the next person who hasn't won to win.
Yeah.
But Luke Humphreys' opportunities just come so sporadically. But he's just been in too many of them to count him out.
Yeah.
But Ezra Robinson's just dangerously close.
Oh, he's 9-footed rated, easily the highest rated non-winner on tour. I say easily, but how close is the
is. He's definitely the highest rated player. They said Ezra, that on the broadcast.
Oh, yeah, he's 10 higher than Ezra Aderholt. He's only at 10:30. So, yeah, comfortably the highest rated player that hasn't won yet.
Mm. Calvin just, he had that really hot start and then just kind of cooled off. So we thought this might be a Gannon Burr from last week, but ended up in fourth with Gavin Rathbun. So nice event from him. He's popped off at a few. Kyle Klein, Nicholas Antela, Gavin Babcock, Luke Taylor, Casey White, Luke Humphreys round out the top 10. So disappointing there from Luke. I'm sure he'll be ruined himself, but yeah.
Paul Ulibarri called pre-event that minus 24 would be the winning score. Not bad. Missed it by a stroke, but was definitely blown out of the water round one when Calvin started with a minus 12 and Paul was like just reconsidering his life decisions.
Shit.
But it panned out correct.
Who did you tip?
I went with none other than Nicholas Antela.
Ah, nice. Yeah. Seventh place for the young Finn.
Not bad. It started, quite well. Maybe I'm wrong. No, maybe it was his next two rounds. He had a quiet round and then put in work, thankfully, Nicholas. Happy with a seventh there. What about yourself?
Well, I think if you remember from last week's pod, I said how Yuli played really well and you might find me with a sneaky little Yuli tip.
Mm.
But then I kind of look at Yuli and I was like, well, he actually had a few like finishes that were pretty trash, like in the 30s and the 40s. And I was like, I think I need to go with a safer tip. So I've gone with a guy who's had a better year. And went with Andrew Presnell, who comes 71st. Major winner.
Shit.
Major winner in the woods. Had a decent year. Hasn't really had any big blowouts. Played all right at a few tournaments. A lot of top 20s. It's a safer tip.
Final round plus 3. Oh, shit.
Yeah. Drop 25 spots round 3. Cheers, mate.
Good tip, mate.
I would have been just as good
tipping Doss.
Nate Doss.
Yep. Am I catching you? I might be catching you on the leaderboard.
Oh, mate, everyone's catching me. But I'm telling you now, I've only got 8 gold left. I can tip 8 10-40 rated players.
Okay, cool.
So I've only got gold left. But I'm sure it's too little too late. So yeah. Don't worry about my season. But my throwers guarantee didn't quite work out so well either, because I'm pretty shattered with Presnell, and he shot the same as Doss. So, I was G'd up. I told you I was G'd up. I was watching that first round. I got up for it. A little shaky on the first, but that's fine. He got his par. It's a hard hole. Roller on the second, and he gets up to like, I don't know, he's about 10, 15 meters from like a gap. Like a small tree gap.
Very small.
And he's just trying to figure out what he's doing. He's lining up his shot. And I see him like doing the roller action. And I was like, well, no, like you won't do that. And then the commentators are like, looks like Doss is lining up a roller. And I'm like, nah, because that would be real stupid. You wouldn't try to do that. That'd be like a really dumb thing to do. And then he threw the roller and holy shit, it slammed into the tree. No shit. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, were you watching that live?
I was watching that live as well. Yeah. And that, and it was at that,
it's one of the
that
dumbest moment, things I've ever seen anyone do. Like,
my guarantee is safe.
Yeah. I was like, nah, man. Like, that was funny. Oh, that broke my heart. I was like, oh, okay. Cool. He's an idiot. Like, it was so stupid.
Yeah.
Like, there was never a time when, like, just throw a little backhand turnover through that. Like, I don't. Anyway. Yeah, it didn't play horrendous. Like, 71st. What was the 1,006 rated event? So, he's still the best player in Australia. He hasn't played in 6 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's not bad. But. Yeah, I had a high hope. So I genuinely thought he was going to cash. Like, I genuinely was thinking, nah, he definitely will. Like, this is fine. So my throwers guarantee also 0 from 1.
Hey,
not
bust.
A good start. I'm going to have to, go a bit more conservative this week. Get some runs on the board, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe the segment needs a new name, because like we've both called it the guarantee, but then we've both given each other 8 points. So like it's like, well, it's very unlikely.
Yeah. Well, that's all we could. Like I said, we could have said, Gannon Burr makes cash.
Yeah,
I would have been like, well, I'll give you one.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. I've got
good 8 points.
Yeah. I'm not. Don't have a one lined up this week, but I'm confident. I'm more confident. I don't think I'll be interested to see what points you give me. Actually,
yeah. Okay. Nice. But yeah, Doss still took some scalps, so he wasn't even far off AB Anthony Brello, who's just in a real shit patch. But yeah, took some scalps. Finished the same as Carter Ahrens. And Andrew Presnell, as we mentioned, but took down Jesse Nieminen, Thomas Gilbert, Alden Harris. You got to be feeling pretty bad. This guy steps out of the commentator booth and you're getting rolled by him, especially with throwing shit rollers.
So, took down Drew Gibson as well.
Yeah, DNF. So yeah. Everyone took him in there. But I don't know. We'll see how Dossie goes at USDGC. But back to the commentary booth for him.
Yes.
All right. So what is that? That brings us to our Throwers Guarantee. So what have you got this week? I went first last week, so you can go this week.
All right. So we've obviously... spoken about the league day leaderboard and how there's not many people within arm's reach of Peter Chu.
Mm-hmm. Runaway train.
And with only one event left, there's a couple of ways I thought I could approach this. And I could say one of my guarantees I was thinking about saying was Peter will not win the season. But I'm gonna level that up and I'm going to say this. Vil himself will take out season one of the social days.
All right. Well, to give you an accurate number, I need some more information. So like this. Seems like a big call, but where is Vil sitting on the leaderboard? Got a free round to use? Like, can Peter Chu drop one? Like, what are we looking at?
All right, I'll give you some misleading information so you score me well. No, I'll tell you the truth. Here's the truth. Ville's played seven, so he's got one up his sleeve. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Ville's sitting in second, okay? But he's a miles off. He's on 657, and Peter's on 740, right?
So what's that difference?
90.
657, 90, okay.
All right, call it 90. 650, 740, it's 80 odd.
Yeah.
Can Peter drop one? Yeah, Peter can drop, definitely. Peter can drop an 82, right? So 82's poo. He can go, if he puts in a 95 or something, he goes up by 10 plus, right? But Ville has one up his sleeve. Put it this way. If Peter gets a 90 and Ville gets a 100, Pete still wins, exactly.
Yeah. So Pete's got to basically not drop one out. He's got to get in the 80-somethings, which I can't remember how that works. He'd have to finish, outside the top 10?
Low. At the last Bald Hill day, obviously Aiden took 100. A bunch of people took a 98 because they got tied second. There was a 94, a 93, and I want to say there was a 91.
All right, well, here's the big spanner in the works. Peter Chu's not signed up. not signed up.
At the moment, there's a lot of them left.
Right, so basically, Ville's 90, so yeah, Ville just has to finish in the top five or something to win.
Maybe.
You dodgy prick. which he will. He loves
it. It's only Wednesday. He could sign up. Yeah.
Yeah. So I gotta do a number based off of he might sign up. So who might beat Ville? So you got this Aiden,
myself,
Ryan, Leo. Yeah, not Leo. Yeah, you might not play. Fucking hell, he probably will win. That's disappointing. I was really hoping to see Peter Chu win this.
Well, I think Ville's gonna win.
I think he will too. And it looks, if Pete doesn't play, it looks pretty obvious that he will. Like, Pete has to play and play decent to not lose. So he's not signed up. I can only give you like a 2.
A 2? Okay. I'm glad I went first.
What are you thinking?
I don't know. Less than 5, for sure. Less than 5. But I think I would have worn a 3. I thought a 4 would have been nice. He's 90 points back.
If Pete was signed up, I would have given you a 4.
Okay, but
he's not signed up.
Fair enough.
I'm halving it. Because if he doesn't come, if he doesn't show up, then Ville wins.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're insulting Aiden. Aiden's definitely within a show, but cool.
Okay, I don't know all the info. That's the other information I don't know. I'm only giving you 2, though. You need a tick.
No, it's fair enough. Ville's definitely more of a chance than Aiden. All right, I'll take a 2. What's your guarantee?
I'm going a little spicier. I'm going a lot spicier. I said I was going to go for more of a guarantee, but it's not how I play the game. It might be my undoing, but it's not how I play the game. I'm going to say that Taron Anderson will finish in the top half of the handicap. So coming off a massive score at the last social day, I think he's not going to roller coaster all the way back down. He's going to be in the top half of handicaps.
Okay. Top half of handicaps.
Handicaps, not raws.
Yeah, I get you. And last time we played Ruffy, he basically came last in the handicaps. So this is spicier. But half, how he's got, this is good. All right, good. Well played. Let me give me a second. What's he got a handicap?
Yeah, you're eight. All good.
Eight's chunky.
Yeah, but it's like he played great last round. So the rule of Taran, you know,
is he plummets. And you're saying he won't come in the top half.
No, I'm saying he will. I think he's going to back it up, and he's going to have a good round, and he's going to be in the top half. I'm backing him for two good rounds in a row.
Rollercoaster Taran. Look, I'm going to give you, I can't split, do you know what? I'm umming and ahhing and I'm saying, you know, that's six.
It's a five.
Yeah, exactly. I'm umming and ahhing between six and four, and I'm going to say you can have five.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, I figured it's top half, bottom half, and it's handicap, so it's...
Yeah. Nah.
Nah, that's sounds six. Good. That's what I was hoping to hear. A what?
Yeah. I was umming and ahhing between a six and a four. You can have five.
I'm playing for
two. Away we go.
Two. Come on. All right. Peter Chu, sign up, buddy. Do it for me.
Yeah.
Do it for you, Pete. I want to see you in this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's our throwers guarantee that Ville wins the first half of this year, social days. And correct. My guarantee is that Taran will finish in the top half of the handicaps at Ruffy. Also, if Taran doesn't play, then he doesn't finish in the top half. So if he somehow pulls out, that's a loss for me.
Correct.
Cool. All right. I'm excited.
Bring it on.
I gotta back this up tomorrow. I'm not sure if you saw, but I'm the special guest on the Parked Clubhouse.
Oh,
tomorrow.
Did I ever see? Bring it on. I'm looking forward to that. I watch it retrospectively most of the time. I'm gonna try to tune in live tomorrow night.
Well, they do actually a bit of prep work. Seems a lot more work than we do. So I'm expected to be there like early. I'm joining them on the couch, which I volunteered to do because I like the in-person treatment. But awesome. Yeah, they're like, cool. So get there an hour early. I was like, ooh, okay. our prep work's just, I forgot to get the social day scores up. Let me do that.
Mine's pouring a glass of whiskey and scurrying out to the car. Right when I said, I'm ready at 7:45. And at 7:44, I'm like, I best finish pouring this whiskey.
Bit more of a professional setup than we got going, but that's all right. But yeah, have a listen out tomorrow. It'll probably be their biggest show ever. Definitely more numbers will ever watch it than tomorrow now that I'm on it. So lucky
that's
them.
That's a thrower's guarantee if I've ever heard that's one.
I know I'm going to cop some shit for my last thrower's guarantee. And I was going to go real conservative and just say that I will beat all four of the clubhouse people at this upcoming members. Social day.
Yeah.
But none of them are playing, so... But I still guarantee it. So now we'll see how it goes. Going to do a little bit of between two chains with them as well. So, yeah, should be good fun. Check out the clubhouse Thursday evening.
Get around it.
All right, should we do some spotlight, not light?
Yeah, I got some.
Sweet. Me too. I've got a not light. I'm working on the spotlight. I want to go straight into it.
Please.
And it's not disc golf related, but it's bigger than that. If you're a lover of sport, if you're a lover of competition, then you know the GOAT, the absolute GOAT of GOATs. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Paul Macbeth.
No.
Gary Lyon. Like,
no, Gary mate. Lyon. Joey Chestnut.
Oh, Joey Chestnut.
Tell me you're familiar with Joey Chestnut, the GOAT of GOATs.
I fucking am randomly scrambling to Google Joey Chestnut as we speak.
16 times.
I actually know this news. Yes, I yeah. know. I know what you're going to say. As soon as I saw his 16 face.
16 times. Mustard yellow belt winner.
I do actually know this.
The man, the myth, the legend, the unbeatable. Yeah, the unbeatable hot dog eating champion.
This is a great not light.
An American hero, like a world hero, pretty much.
Yes.
So what's happened is just madness. 4th of July is the big hot dog eating comp. That's the Super Bowl. That's the AFL Grand Final. That's the big dance. And he's unbeatable at the event. And he is banned. He's banned from competition this year. So I know what you're thinking. Like, what's going on? Has he been caught taking performance-enhancing drugs? I didn't even know they tested for performance-enhancing drugs at these competitions. No, that's not the case. So the big competition is run by Nathan's, who is a hot dog brand. And Joey has signed a contract with a vegan beef company. Not burgers or something. I can't remember what it's called. And I guess they've cracked it and they said, well, nah, fuck yeah, you can't compete. Just banned it. So, and it's just outrage. I feel like hopefully the sport has a governing body and that governing body has to come to their senses and we need to get Joey Chestnut in there because he's the man. So absolute not light to Nathan's hot dogs. This is about the worst publicity you could ever get. Banning Joey Chestnut. It's like telling you can't have Santa at Christmas this year. Sorry, guys. Wild. So that's probably the biggest not light of the year.
Nah, that's huge. It's huge. That did come across my desk today. Yeah. Ouch. All right. I've got a couple of not lights. I've mostly just sitting there as honorable mentions. It's hard to follow that not light up, to be honest. These all feel like honorable mentions in the end. So my honorable mentions are definitely PDGA water stations and lack thereof. Ryan Deere not being in the ace pot. You spud. Like, that's a not light for sure.
Yeah, so good.
But my actual not light goes to someone that I don't think I've called out for this before. And you went after a big dog last week. I'm going after one of the bigger big dogs. All right. I'm going after a former competitive wrestler, none other than Gavin Babcock. And I know I know he's one of Gannon Burr's besties. And I since discovered this weekend, they model their putting style off each other and they both are incapable of counting to 30. Because Gavin Babcock is a friggin' slow putter at times. And it is hard to watch. And Jomez, if you haven't watched Final Round on Jomez, they splice it in there in a chase card catch-up and they leave it in there basically to make a point. Like, you know, they don't have to do that on post-produce, but they splice in Gavin lining up his putt and it is brutal. It goes for what feels like forever. So he gets my not light. Just pull the trigger, Gavin. Make a putt.
Sick.
Yeah.
I must spotlight a bunch we've talked about, like Taryn's neck 12's obviously amazing. But then it's hard to give that props without giving Aiden equal props. The neg 15 is so good. That's just a crush way to spank that record. And then Jono, just another shout out, stepping up to MPO and then almost winning it. Sick. But I think my actual spotlight, I mentioned him before, but it's going to go to Lee Thompson. Just had a look at his year so far, and his 11 events. I think one of them's a league, but first, second, first, second, first, second. So, fucking putting in some good work. A couple big tournaments in there as well. Yeah, Lee Thompson having a massive year, and we're barely into it. So, yeah, keen to see what he's got next.
Good stuff. All right, you smashed me with the not light, but I'm smashing you this week with the spotlights.
Sick.
A couple of things have flown under your radar, and they are sitting nicely within my PowerPoint to talk about.
Good.
All right, so my first honorable mention has to go to none other, one of the newest bands on the block, Cousin-in-Law. Get around it. All right, Oscar Fellberg, massive fan of the show, now finds himself a member of a band. Their stuff is available on SoundCloud. Check him out via Oscar's socials. We rightfully got around Narada, and his tunes have given Cousin-in-Law a bit of a listen. They got a couple of bangers in the works. Awesome stuff. That's my honorable mention.
Oh, that did go way over my head. I missed that.
You see? Missed that. You've missed that completely. You have to go check that out. But my my actual spotlight, this unfolded in the Tuesday doubles chat, and maybe you missed this as well, but our mate DSS, Mr. Double Ace himself, has played a round of disc golf and has hit two aces in one round.
True. I can't believe I forgot about that.
The story at Bicentennial. The story not told is that he was having a match play competition against Chris Scott himself. And needless to say, Dazza won those two holes. and so, yeah, just the double ace, one to totem pole and one into the actual chains. But aces are aces. And how many people can claim a double ace round? Not many. So DSS with the double ace, that has to be my spotlight this week. Awesome shit.
Yeah, see. Good job. Very good job. Yeah, for sure. One thing I forgot to mention too was the work by Kalen he put together for the Street League.
Yes.
So the Dazza made a claim that the Street League people all had big ratings improvements over the summer, and Kalen did some digging, and Dazza was pretty spot on that basically everyone did have a nice little jump. So cool to see him get on the spreadsheet, especially seeing as Penn is he's pulled out of Street League this year. Probably see him as a mercenary a couple of times if he can sneak away from work. But so not sure if Stat Pendo is going to be in full flight, but we'll have some stuff for Kalen. So plenty of stats coming soon for Street League. And okay. Dazza, yeah, you mentioned he was playing match play with Chris. Well, they were trialing out Ching, and he says it's a goer, very user-friendly, and we're going to see that in Street League for sure. So once again, get around Ching, T-J-I-N-G.
Get around us. We are onto it.
Get around us. Always get around us.
Yeah.
Always get around us. all right. Sorry, this pod's massively long, but I need to talk about this. So Beaver State Fling, which just means only one thing, is definitely going to happen. They're going to talk about Philo's Albatross a lot.
Yes.
And there was a lot of chatter in our tipping comp chat about how they could just shut the fuck up and da-da-da-da. I and you have shameless self-promoters on our platform. So I have no problem with it.
Yeah.
Bring it up as often as possible and as casual as possible. The part that's weird for me is that Philo doesn't seem to be the one bringing it up that often. It's who's the other bloke? The other commentator who's there all the time. Normally with DOS.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever it is. Andrew Brian, or whatever Brian, it is.
Brian.
No, not Brian. Anyway. Whoever that normal guy is, it's always there. He was the one bringing it up like crazy. That's the part I don't like. I'm all for shameless self-promotion. But if you had done something great, I would probably bring it up once. Just if we were commentating, I'd be like, oh, yeah, that was cool what you did. But I wouldn't bring it up every 35 seconds. I wouldn't be like, oh, mate, is this near where you threw it in from? Like, I'm happy for you to jerk yourself off, but I'm not going to do it for you. So that was a weird one for me. So I'm happy with Philo, but Andrew or whatever his name is, I can't remember now. Just calm down.
Calm down.
Yeah. All right, cool. Now I think we can officially close it now. So thanks for listening, everybody. Check out Clubhouse.
Love it. Peace out.